Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. To those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you're here, and we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, focused on the cross, keeping the main thing the main thing, loving one another as Christ has commanded us to, having a zeal and a desire for God's word, a thirst for his word so that we could apply it to our everyday lives, having a mind to work, willing to do whatever it takes to expand God's kingdom, working for the Lord, being busy about our Father's business, and appreciating the grace and the mercy that he extends to us day in and day out. And no matter what, through the wins, through the losses, through the ups and the downs, know that our God and Jesus the Christ loves us, and so do I. And there's nothing you can do about that. There was a mighty king in a faraway land. He was uncommonly a good king. He was good to his people. One might even say that he sacrificed for their well-being. The citizens of that land bowed to the king and felt themselves fortunate to have such a good man to rule over them. It hadn't been long a custom that a land had come together to say that the citizens should bow. And it became law to bow before the king. It was a test of loyalty to the king. It was even the case if one failed to bow, the penalty was death. One day as the king's entourage passed through a certain village, the king's prime minister noticed that a certain man was failing to bow in the presence of the king. The prime minister was charged with enforcing the laws of the land, and the man brought before the prime minister the charge with disloyalty to the king. The man denied being disloyal to the king because he simply did not wish to bow to the king. He didn't understand. He was adamant and he would not comply. He was a good man in many ways. He was a good husband to his wife. He was a good father to his children. He was nice to every citizen and neighbor. He had been known to help the poor and advocate for good moral values. These facts didn't matter, though, to the prime minister. Then the man was held for trial, and there was little hope for an acquittal, except that he would consent and bow before the king. And knowing this, the man's friends and his family pleaded with him day in and day out, begging him to bow before the king. The matter made no sense to them. They didn't understand when all you have to simply do is bow. They reasoned with him. They said, doesn't the king bear the scar of protecting us from enemies and armies? And he said, yes, he does. Then they said, hasn't he proved to us that he cares about us? He improved our living situation, built new homes in our villages. He improved the roads and bridges for us to go to and fro. And he says, yes, that's right. He agreed. Then he opened his granaries to feed the people during the last drought. Then he made sure that our bellies were filled. That's true, the man said. And on, they went on talking about all the benefits that they received from the king. They further asked him, isn't our king a worthy king? And the man had no answer. And he simply would not budge. He would not bow to the king. The time of trial grew near, and his death was imminent. The man's friends and family, they wouldn't give up, and they decided that he might relent in their efforts to affect his decision. They pleaded, think of your nation. What if everyone decided to dishonor the king? There would be no national pride. Decay would begin, and soon we would be slaves to the surrounding nations. They continue. Think of the citizens of your village. Think of all the lives wasted if they followed your example not to bow before the king. They went on. Think of your wife. She would be grieving for you in dishonor. And what will the memory be to her when she is left a widow with no support, all because you would not bow before the king? None of this moved this stubborn man. He was set in his ways. His loved ones decided to try one more thing, and they hoped that it would work. It was their last hope. If this didn't convince him, nothing would. Their last reason was to think of your son. Think of your son. They said your son wasn't bowing when you didn't bow either. And if you do not repent, your son will follow you to the executioner. The man wouldn't repent. His trial was short, the execution was swift, and the grieving protracted. One thing that I can say about this man in this story is that he was an idiot, a prideful idiot. And the sad thing is this, that every single Lord's Day, I can find an individual just like this man sitting in these exact pews. They listen to the preaching week after week, day after day, week after week. They know that their king is worthy. They know all of the benefits they receive at his hand. They have been told what the whole world would look like if everyone was as stubborn as they. They have been told that they are influencing their neighbor for ill. They even sit by and watch their sons and daughters get lost in the sea of worldliness. Yet they still won't bow to King Jesus. This morning, I would like to very briefly review the reasons why we should bow to King Jesus this morning. And when I say bow to King Jesus, I'm not talking about a literal bow. I'm simply talking about obedience. The first point I want to make is one that we all should understand and know. And that is, the king is worthy. The king is worthy. And John chapter 6 and verse 38, it tells us, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He is not a usurper. He is the Son of God. And he did the will of the Father, not the will of himself. He is a worthy king to be obeyed. He also has all authority in his hand. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I don't know about you, but I want to be loyal to the king who has all authority and power in his hands." Not only that, he's a provider, saints, of all your spiritual blessings, all of the things that we're able to enjoy spiritually. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Not only is he not a usurper, he has all authority, and we have benefits spiritually because he's worthy, but we also have a source of all our spiritual blessings. And John chapter 1 and verse 3, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." The roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the food in your mouth, the health and strength, the opportunities providentially that have been provided for you, the doors that have been opened and closed came from a worthy king that needs to be obeyed. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." He is a worthy king to be obeyed, and he's not above it all, and he doesn't walk around with a goody two shoes attitude like some of us. You remember in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 10, It says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross for us. He is a worthy king for us to bow to. One of the things that I find so important and encouraging is that he bears the scars of a champion. He was a warrior for you and me. He is worthy for us to be obedient and to bow before him. He is our champion. In John chapter 20, looking at verses 26 through 28, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. See the scars that I bear for your sake. I went from battle to battle to battle to battle for you and ultimately won the war. I overcame sin and death. Look at the scars. Put your hand and place it in my side. Do you not believe? But believe. Thomas answered him the way that we should. My Lord, my God, you are worthy to be praised, served, and bowed before. He has gotten the scars for our sake. But here is the most important thing that I want you all to take from this. Now that you understand that he's worthy of our obedience, worthy of our allegiance, there are consequences, saints, that we need to be reminded and mindful of that come with us not willing to bow before the king. The first one of the most important ones, is none of your prayers are heard. None of your prayers are heard. You take away the direct line of communication when you are disobedient to the king. You are now lacking the benefits that come with one who is obedient and willing to bow and serve the king. You know, what I like to call it is a spiritual lapse. Let me explain to you what lapse is. You ever heard of insurance lapsing? Yeah, okay, well let me tell you what it sounds like. Listen to it spiritually, okay? A lapse is the removal or expiration of a privilege or right or policy due to the passage of time or some sort of inaction. A lapse of a privilege due to an inaction occurs when the party that is to receive the benefit does not fulfill the conditions or requirements set forth by a contract or an agreement. What contract and what agreement have we signed? When we went down in a watery grave of baptism, we said that with all of our heart, with all of our minds, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, we will bow before you. We will be obedient to your every word. We will serve you with every fiber of our being. But what ends up happening is you have that spiritual lapse. See, when an insurance policy lapses, it usually occurs because one party fails to act on its obligation. What are our obligations to the king? Over in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, your unwillingness to bow before him have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. We have to be very careful about this. See, if you're a person that says, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, but nothing is changing in my life. Maybe things aren't changing in your life. Because maybe you need to change your life. See, most of the time we want to pray and pray, but we're not willing to make the changes so that our prayers can be heard. we have an obligation to bow before the king. Second, personally, the consequence will be a denial before the Father. Right? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, so whoever one acknowledges me before men, I too will acknowledge him before my Father, which is in heaven. But in the same token, he will also deny you. If you deny him, not willing to bow, not willing to serve, he will deny you before his Father, which is in heaven. And what makes a long story short, we all will bow. If you don't bow now, you will bow later. If you don't volunteer, my favorite saying is you will be voluntold. So it's up to you whether or not you're willing to bow now. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. You're either bowing because you know that he's worthy of your praise and your service and your allegiance to him, or you're bowing because now you are afraid and you are fearful that you will spend eternity separated from him. And one of the greatest things that goes along in the consequence is the sentencing and the execution of the sentence. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it talks about when they saw the great white throne. It gives us a description of, well, what's going to happen and you being kept out of the book of life. It says, death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, then death and Hades were thrown into a lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I need for us to truly understand what it means to bow before the king. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter all the great things you're doing in the community. You have to be obedient to the king. Just like the gentleman in the story, he had good, clean reputation. He was good to his wife. He was good to his children. He was good to the citizens in his village. And yet, he couldn't find the respect and the humility to bow before the king that was good to him. I often think about us and our unwillingness to bow before the king and have obedience. Second, the consequence of influence. We're affected by that. I want you to think about it. If you're not willing to bow before the king, our efforts in influencing society to do so will fall short. How else will people know about the king? How else will people know how to serve the king, how to praise the king, how to worship the king if we aren't doing it? I want you to really think about it. We won't be involved in making any more Christians if we refuse to bow before the king. Let me tell you something. The reason the world is the way that it is the lack of the kingdom mindset. And it is our responsibility to let the world know, and every other person who is not saved, who does not know God, who is not a believer, and who is not following him according to his will or his word. It is our mission to get that done. But when we refuse, those who are believers, to ultimately and totally bow before the king in total obedience, it will affect our efforts to save and seek the lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, we know that the unrighteous won't inherit it, so we need to be righteous so we can teach righteousness so the world can change. Unfortunately, with all the millions and billions of people here, there are a lot less brethren who are in the church who are truly bowing before the king. Because if that were so, we would have a different world. We'll be experiencing different things. Let me ask you this. What if you were driving through a strange city and your car breaks down? especially the ladies. And you look around and you notice that you're in this rundown character of a neighborhood all of a sudden. It's dark. The street lights are out. There are abandoned buildings and all the businesses seem to be closed. And there you see about a half a mile away, a gas station with a light on. But unfortunately, your car will not move and your phone is dead. You realize that you are in the wrong neighborhood. So you have to get out of your car and walk to the gas station. And as you start walking, you notice a group of men walking behind you. And they start walking faster. And now you're walking faster. And now you decide to duck in between some buildings to lose them and find yourself in a dead-end alley. You're in dim light. And all you can see is their shadows approaching you. And what looks like weapons in their hand. And they're getting closer and closer. And you're thinking to yourself, this is it. This is it. I'm going to die right here. And then you nearly faint with relief when you see that they're carrying Bibles. They just left the Bible study. And they saw that you were stranded in your car. And they just wanted to help. I believe such is the power of influence through the Bible. We have a weapon that can build, that can change, that can influence, that can encourage, that can revive, that can restore, that can renew the lives of men and women. Watch the scales fall from their eyes and watch their eyes opening up and understand who their king is and how they ought to obey him. We have that influence. But if we're not bowing and if we're not obedient, we lose that very influence to change the world. Our king used the word of God to help him. So why aren't we? You don't study and teach God's God for society. What do you think happens to society? Right? If you're tired of what society is looking like, maybe it's time for us to get off of the pews and start sharing the gospel with every single person. Take advantage of every opportunity that we have. Share and share again and keep on sharing. Keep on sharing. Let me tell you something. A lot of us are saying that, you know, and I get it. Everybody is not comfortable with speaking to strangers and just, you know, having just random conversations with people. Well, let me say this. If you're afraid of that, let me help you understand what's going on in the world. We live in a place where they're snatching babies, children, people for that matter, in broad daylight. We live in a world where people are putting drugs and toxins on money and leaving it so you can pick it up and watch something happen to you or snatch you away. We live in a place where we have no regard for life, no regard or respect for our elders, no regard or respect for authority. And you have a fear of sharing the gospel? Let me tell you something, beloved. We need to get to a place where we are fearing the fact that we are in a battle and the devil is busy. And we need to get to a place where we have the confidence to know the importance of sharing the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, right? A worker that has no need to be ashamed. You have no need to be ashamed of sharing the gospel because we so badly need it today. But when we refuse to bow, and we refuse to read, and we refuse to share, and we refuse to teach. You can't speak on what you haven't studied or read. We have to spend the time and our efforts in influencing society should stop lacking today. But that's what happens when we refuse to bow to the king. And then think about the efforts in influencing the family. Oh, if you can't influence society, you definitely not influencing the family. You have to compare yourself to the efforts of Abraham, right? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, It says, I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, doing righteousness and justice. When you refuse to bow, all your children are not too far behind. And I can rest assured the family is already in a whirlspin. The Bible says, train up a child in a way that he or she should go. Even when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. We have to be showing our children the importance of the obedience to the King. Listen, saints, we can go outside this building and it wouldn't take long to review the wreckage of families in this world. And we can understand those people in those families who are not influenced by godly people. And that's what's happening right now. The refusal of us to bow to the King. You've seen them. You know them. You work with them. You're around them in the grocery store and everywhere that you go. You've seen the pain. You felt the wounds of war and of violence and of death and of drugs and alcohol, sexual immorality, homosexuality, the trials and the sentences and the executions. We have seen it all. And sadly, so many refuse to bow before the King. It comes from an unwillingness to do so. We have to change that. So my question for you this morning is, what will you be doing to prevent this? What would you do to challenge yourself starting this morning to prevent these things from happening? Even though I'm speaking as if it's future tense, saints, it's already happening. It's happening in the family. It's happening in society. It's happening in the church. It's happening in marriages. It's happening in the homes. It's happening everywhere. What are we willing to do to prevent it? Let me say this. There has been too many godly wives who are mourning their husbands long before their death. There are too many sons and daughters that have followed the fathers and their mothers in error, and their souls will be lost because of it. And let me say this. We got to get out of saying this, and some people think that this is true. But I took them to Sunday school. I brought them to church. Let me tell you something. Your influence is stronger than Sunday school. Your influence is stronger than sitting them on the pew and letting them just sit here and just bringing them to church. They need an influence and a somebody who loves the Lord to follow. Let me say this. Attendance is not better than obedience. Just because you come here and sit in these pews doesn't mean that you're obedient. Just because you put on a suit and look nice and you say, God bless you and everything's fine and I'm praying for you, brother and sister, doesn't mean that you are truly bowing before the King. You know, I gave you all a list of different things to think about. But I want to ask you, does it make sense that any or all of the things that have happened, that are happening, is because the refusal to bow to the King? Think about that. The world is the way it is because of the refusal to bow to the King. The family structure is the way it is because of the refusal to bow to the King. Marriage, the institution of marriage, is no longer a respectful thing. It's just something you do when you feel good, and when you feel bad, you get out. That's because of the refusal to bow to the King. You can contribute to society's safety, well-being, and the knowledge of God's word far more effectively than any police department, than any armed forces, than any civil servant, any government that you can think of, if we just bow to the King. We ought to bow to the King for our family's sake. We ought to bow to the King for our soul's sake. We ought to bow to the king for the kingdom's sake. And we ought to bow to the king because he died for us. I invite those this morning who have been stubborn in their sin to repent. I'm inviting those who are battling with the issue of the mind and battling with the lust of the flesh. I'm inviting those who are saying, I need the prayers of the church to come forth. I'm inviting those who have not even bowed, have never bowed. I'm inviting you this morning to obey the king and come and make it known. Whatever your request is, you have an opportunity to change your eternal destination. Don't wait, because the consequences are too great. It is now for us to start bowing and honoring our King Jesus. Surely don't hesitate because of fear. Don't sit there and say, I was about to come, but I was afraid. Listen. Our King is a benevolent, loving, forgiving, and gracious King. Don't ever forget that. And He desires to have a personal relationship with you. So if you're here this morning and you desire this, you ought to come while you still can sing, while you still can come, while you still can walk, while you still can say, forgive me, while you still can say, pray for me. You can make your request known. As together we stand, and together we sing.